So we sort of touched on it there, but who is most inclined to experience feelings of loneliness? Can we put it down to particular categories? Who is most likely to experience feelings of loneliness?
Yes, we sort of can. So, I mean, you are right. It's very common for people to feel lonely at some point in their lives. But I guess there are certain age groups or situations where people are more inclined to experience loneliness. You did mention university students, so we know that early adulthood it seems to be a bit of a peak period, as is the later years of life. But, of course, there's also some lonely times in the middle years as well. But these seem much more connected to marriage breakups where people suddenly end up living alone. We definitely know that living alone is part of it, all right? So it is definitely part of just not having somebody to turn to and talk to when you get home. But it certainly is not the only factor, as you mentioned in your introduction. It's not simply about having people to hang out with that will fix loneliness. There's actually quite a lot of psychological factors that seem to be playing a role.
Well, what kind of factors are we talking about that would move something from people simply being alone and potentially perfectly comfortable with being alone to feelings of loneliness?
Yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, we all have time alone, and, in fact, some people seek it out and quite enjoy having time alone. It's about getting the right dose of time alone for you as a person. We know that for some people, being alone in times of need kind of brings on those feelings of loneliness. So if you're under stress, you're in a difficult situation, that's often when people want other people to turn to. We certainly know that for people who might be experiencing some kind of anxiety or depression, that can certainly bring on feelings of loneliness. And in fact, it seems that there's a very strong connection there between symptoms of anxiety and depression and then loneliness. And it also depends on the quality of the relationships that you have. So, you know, you can certainly feel lonely at a party full of people all having fun around you. It depends on whether you feel connected to the people around you, whether you feel there's people that value you, whether you feel like you can contribute socially. So it's not just about having people to support you. It's also about some sense of being able to provide a purpose in life and being able to, you know, help other people as well.
Just, you mentioned there, obviously, that strong connection between loneliness and depression and associated sort of behaviours. There, would it be fair to say there is something of a misunderstanding around these conditions, you know, and perhaps the connection around these conditions, given the advice would kind of be in both circumstances? Oh, well, what are you feeling that way for? Get out there, meet some new people, just do something different with your life.
Absolutely, and I think that is actually part of the solution. But if you have depression, if you have anxiety, if you feel nervous about meeting new people, if your health is impacting on your ability to get out, maybe you're in pain, maybe you're not physically mobile, maybe you can't drive, these things actually get in the way of being able to just do what seems very common sense. And so, of course, as we have more older people living alone at home, becoming less mobile, maybe not driving, as their friends maybe die or neighbours die or move away, it actually becomes really difficult then to go out and start making new friends. Older people actually worry quite a bit about going into new social situations, and they worry about all the things that we worry about, like, will I have someone to talk to? What happens if they don't like me? Will they judge what I look like? And so these barriers are some of the reasons why people find it hard to protect themselves from loneliness and keep up those social connections.
Mm. Having conducted researches into the causes and effects of loneliness, are there some effective strategies you would suggest to help individuals kind of overcome these feelings?
Yeah, so the research suggests that it's not just about having frequent social contact, it is about that quality of the contact. And it seems that it's not just about trying to get people to necessarily have more contact with family. I mean, that's obviously a good thing to do, but it's about getting people to connect with other people for which they share a common interest. There's something about being able to bond with people where you both, you know, you both like, you know, puzzles, you both like, you know, constructing things, you both like bushwalking, that makes you feel a bit more valued as a person. So I think if we can find ways to help people who are isolated to stay connected, if we can help them overcome whatever barriers there might be to maintaining those connections, so maybe it's picking them up en route, you know, providing the transport, maybe it's just going along with them to new sorts of social interactions for a while until they start to feel more comfortable. I think that's probably, yeah, some things we can do.
Well, Viv, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us. As we say, this is something everybody deals with at some point in their lives. So do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Thank you. And if I can maybe just give an email address if people are interested. We have some treatment programs we're doing at the moment at Macquarie University to try and combat loneliness, but we're also doing some research. So if anyone's interested, they can send us an email. The email address is SPA, which is S for social, P for participation, A for aging, A for adult, so SPAA at MQ, that's the Macquarie, .edu.au.
Fabulous. Well, best of luck with that one going forward. We'll try and stick that one on the podcast, this one as well. Viv, thanks very much.
Thank you.